podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube and podcast channel. We are back with another match preview. It's like being in November, this. They're coming thick and fast. Two games in a week. We're back for a preview for the Sheffield United home game. My name's Scott. I'm your host for this one. And this week, I'm joined by Daryl and Chris. Daryl, mate, have you recovered from your journey down to Crystal Palace? And how was the game?
Recovered from the journey. The game was shit, as we all know. A long way to go to be greeted by that kind of performance. Really not what we were expecting. I don't think any of us predicted that kind of performance to be put in. It was just disappointing. And some of the lads just, really performed below expectation. But we've got a great chance to get it out of the system really quickly on Saturday against Sheffield.
Absolutely. And Chris, mate, good to see you on the match previews, as always. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm all right. Similar to Daryl, I think, I know we're calling that 24 hours after the defeat of Palace, but I think, despite obviously how good this run of form has been, just a little bit deflated that it's ended that way, because it was half-assed. I don't think we can deny it was half-assed, and it was frustrating. And I think we'll have to give Eddie Howe the praise when he deserves it, which we have done. But I think you've got to throw a bit of criticism his way, because I think he's trying to set that up the same as what we did against Spurs. It was failing in the first 10 minutes. And you could see it straight away and we just didn't adjust. But frustrated. But like Daryl mentioned there, it's probably good to have Sheffield United coming up. Obviously, what we did earlier in the season. Fingers crossed it's another repeat. But I'm sure we'll get onto that.
Surely we will. I think I'll put in the group chat, this reminds me of Villa away last season, and how down we've all felt, and then look what happened after that. So hopefully Sheffield can help us bounce back. And we will preview that game right before a message from our sponsor. The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com. Right, so as I mentioned, it's the match preview for Sheffield United at home. It's on Saturday, the 27th of April, this coming Saturday, or tomorrow, because you're probably watching this on Friday, because we're only recording it on Thursday. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff. We haven't had many of them this season at St. James's Park, so that means it's not on UK TV because of the 3 p.m. blackout. Sheffield United, say they're not doing too well is a bit of an understatement. They're having a stinker of a season. The bottom of the league on 16 points. And as Daryl let me know just before we went on air, if they lose this game, unfortunately, they are relegated. They're on 3 wins, 7 draws and 24 defeats. Ouch. They're on a minus 59 goal difference. That's 33 goals scored and 92 goals scored against them. The last 5 is 4 defeats, 1 draw. That's defeats against Man U, which happened last night. Burnley, Brentford, Liverpool and Fulham. And the draw did come against Chelsea, which was a 2-2 thriller, if I remember rightly. I've got some commentator stats as usual, so I'll go quickly through them and then we'll jump into our opinions of the game. So one I think I touched on for the Tottenham game, but obviously the stat continues, as we have now scored in all 17 of our Premier League home games this season. So good value for money. 43 goals in total is the most at St. James's Park in a top-flight campaign since the 1996 to 1997 season, where we scored 54. So we have a good chance to match that 54 if it's anything like the away fixture, where we did win 8-0. The 8-0 win isn't the most we've scored in an away fixture. Does anyone know how many it is and who it was against?
That must have been a while back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when it was, but it was 10-0. And it was against a fellow Sheffield side. It was against Sheffield Wednesday. So that's our biggest win, is 10-0. Our biggest, I think, away win, if I remember rightly. We have won 7 of our last 8 league games against Sheffield United, with the exception being a 1-0 away defeat in January 2021. So quite recent. It was a recent defeat. But Sheffield United have lost 3 of the last 4 Premier League away games against Newcastle, failing to score in each defeat. The exception was a 1-0 victory under Neil Warnock way back in 2006 in November. But Newcastle haven't lost a Premier League home game against a promoted side under Eddie Howe. We have 3 wins and 5 draws. The last league defeat was against Leeds. Anyone guess who the manager was?
It's in the barrel.
Bielsa.
Yeah, but who was our manager?
Oh, sorry, who was our manager? Ooh, Rafa?
No.
Bruce?
Yeah, Steve Bruce. It was Steve Bruce. So there you go. There's just some little fun stats just to kick it off. But yeah, like I said, the away fixture was an 8-0 thriller, Daryl, as we know. And I'm trying to remember the last time we played Sheffield United at St. James's. It must have been about 2 seasons ago, probably in 2021.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
So tell us all about it, if you have that information in front of you.
Yeah, it was a 1-0 win for us, obviously, because obviously our record against them.
Sorry to interrupt you, Daryl, but was that the game back at St. James's Park? The first game we're allowed back in?
I think it might have been, you know.
There was only like 10,000 fans that were allowed in, or something similar to that.
Oh, right, yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was probably about right, yeah. And Joe Willock got the winner around about the half-time mark. Yeah, so that was a long 3 years ago was the last time. It shows to how long they've been down in the Championship before coming back up again this season. And yeah, just to again touch on the 8-0 win down at Bramall Lane, definitely one of the best away games I've ever been to, just for the amount of goals and the sheer entertainment. I mean, seeing John Beresford pottering around the away end just getting absolutely mortal was quite an experience, and he's just floating around all over the place throughout the game. I think he popped up in front of me with Graham Swan, who was also there. That would have been just before half time, and he was just having a bit of a sing song and all that, and just soaking it all up. And you know, we all were in that away end that day. I mean, it was just goal after goal after goal. And you know, in a 66 minute spell, we scored 8 goals. So that's like a goal every 8 minutes or so.
And we just dominated Tottenham.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, it was such a good game. And you know, just to mention there as well, you know, you just touched on the record of Sheffield at Sheffield United at St. James's, and you have to, if you want to try and get a period of time to include a decent amount of games, you've got to look at the last 10, and that's in all competitions. And the first game of that 10-game streak is actually all the way back in 1978-79. So that shows you how little we've actually played them over the years. But the overall record in those 10 games is 7 wins, 1 draw and 2 losses. And one of those losses, I think, was a pre-season friendly game back in the early part of that period. But again, yeah, the last 5 Premier League fixtures against Sheffield United at St. James's is that 1 defeat, as we've mentioned, and 4 wins. And that last loss, as you mentioned, was under the Neil Warnock side back in 2006-07.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, obviously, you know, you can't expect a win in the Premier League, and you can't obviously take the away game as a granted as a win. And I think, you know, Sheffield United, you know, they scored 2 against Man U only last night, and it looked like they were holding them pretty close until probably the final, I think it was like 20 minutes when Man U got, I think they got a penalty, and then they obviously got a sucker punch goal towards the end as well. They drew against Chelsea. I think they've also drew against, it wasn't Fulham. Was it Wolves? Maybe I think they've drawn against recently as well. They've had a few close calls recently in the league.
I think they did draw against Fulham as well.
They're not a pushover. Sorry?
I think they did draw against Fulham as well, because what was the one where they were 3-1 up and it went back to 3-3?
Yeah. So they're not a pushover by any chance, but we probably need this more than, well, I say more than they do. Obviously, they're fighting for their lives, but is it going to be one of those where we cannot really take it for granted as you know, the players on the pitch, where I think if you look at maybe, you know, you go back to the Luton game, you go back to the Nottingham Forest game, these home games where we've maybe turned up just expecting to win. Maybe we need to have a bit more of a wits about we're against this one, just where maybe we have to put a bit more of a performance in.
I think you're right what you're saying. I think obviously we do need the points now, because if they lose this game, it's just a final nail in the coffin, really, isn't it? It's not like they can't do enough to stay in the Premier League. Far from it. I think you've hit the nail on the head already. I think we've gone into so many games, and myself as a fan, probably I've probably been the worst for that, going into those games against Luton and Forest and thinking, well, those are points that we should be picking up, and I've just automatically thought, that's 3 points, that's another 3 points, and so on and so on. That came through a difficult spell for us, it really did. We just couldn't pick up 3 points. I don't want to be too optimistic. I don't want to go into this one, like you said, and think, it's ours, like we've done in the past. I don't want to be guilty of that again, because there's been so many times this season we've had egg on our face, and we have done. I think that, weirdly, when we've got more time to prepare, we've looked worse in games.
Yeah.
Like we just have, with the Palace fixture, 10 games to prepare, and we look like we hadn't played together all season. This time it might be better, the fact that Eddie Howe's got them straight back in. I would imagine if they've been given any time off, that is minimal time they've been given off there. Obviously, it hasn't helped that it was a late kickoff on Wednesday, but I don't know. I'm really on it. I'm on the edge with this. I'm really on the fence. I don't know which way it is going, because I would love to sit here and say, yes, we'll get 3 points, because we know deep down we've got enough talent there to do it and to do it easily. It's just those fixtures and those performances against Crystal Palace. I can't look past that at the minute. I can't, because they were shocking. And I don't understand that. There's lots of people out there that saying, yeah, but the thing about the last X amount of games, we've been unbeaten in this many games. Right, fine. But you're only as good as your last game. And we were stinking. Absolutely stunk the place out there at Selhurst Park. And yes, Palace were great. But Jesus, we didn't all make it easy for them. Like, we really did. And I would hope that gets fixed immediately, straight away. And going, like we said at the very start, going in against Sheffield, yes, they're fighting for their life, but how much fight are they really putting in? Because the only fight which I can really put forward is players who might be playing for a move towards the end of the season, think, I've had a taste of the Premier League, I want to stay in the Premier League, because they're not staying there with Sheffield. We know that straight away. I don't know. Come back to us.
It would be interesting, because you normally find with those clubs that where they have been doing so bad, this is probably the best time to play them, because a lot of them have accepted their fate, and it is a case of not a when. And when they eventually, when that final nail in the coffin has hit, that's when they pull out the surprise performances, when they're already down. I mean, you saw it with us. When we got relegated, and then we turned Tottenham over 5-1, it's like you don't, no one expects it, and that's what happens. So, it's we're kind of playing them. If we do beat them, you're playing them a week early, which is good for you, and then you'll probably find they'll turn off however they're playing next week.
And look at that way, though, Scott. You can think that there's no pressure right now on them. Yeah. You can look at it that way. I think it doesn't matter which Sheffield side turn up. Well, it does, obviously, when United should turn up, not Wednesday. It doesn't really matter which side turns up. It's on us. It's literally on us to control that game at St. James's Park and take the game to them, which we should be able to do, but we should have been able to do it against Luton and Forest as well.
Yeah, I think the home crowd would help, but
yes,
I think we need a reaction, Daryl, don't we, from what we saw, last night or Wednesday night, whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was just mentioned there. I think the whole fact that we're going to be at St. James's is going to be a huge benefit to us on Saturday, and again, it'll be down to the crowd to build up the atmosphere and get behind the lads. And we all know and we all accept that there are frustrations with some performances in that squad at the moment, and again, it's also the pressure is also on Eddie to make sure he actually gets it right as well. The team is set up properly for this game. I think we can all agree that we need to see the back of a back five or back three or whatever, and it's got to be back to the back four on Saturday. And again, it's also down to the personnel that may or may not be available to him as well. We heard after the Palace game that he said that Tino wasn't still not quite right, which is why he hasn't really wanted to use him. We still don't really know about Kieran Trippier, who was expected to be due back for the Palace game, and he didn't appear at all in that game or the squad. So obviously, as we always do, we record this before we hear from Eddie's in his press conference before the game, and hopefully he's got some good news for us in that press conference about these players. And to be honest, I think even if we went to a back four and he was able to play Tino at left back over Hall, because I think this it still looks like there's something. He doesn't really want to start Hall, and I think we saw that against, I think was it West Ham where he started in there, and it just didn't, there's just little things still not quite right. Not to say that they're not going to be better as time goes on, but there's just little things that still need to be worked on there. And I think if he can, he'll probably play Tino at left back. And I know we're not quite getting into that point of the preview just yet, but again, it's the setup's got to be right. And unfortunately, there's still areas of the field where it pretty much picks itself as well. And the forward line's got a boost to it now that Wilson's back as well. It was good to see him back on the pitch last night.
It was. And Chris, you've got to think, you know, you think back to the game, the away fixture, and you know, the goals came from pretty much all over the pitch. I think, you know, you had Wilson, you had Isak, you had Gordon scoring. I think even, was it Byrne got a goal or one of the defenders got a goal from a
Byrne and Botman? Eight different scorers. Eight different scorers in the game.
So you've got to think, you know, whoever plays, they've got to fancy their chances of getting on the score sheet if it turns the way it did on that away fixture. And the early goal is probably going to be important in this game if we can break them down. They don't seem like a team that are going to sit back and absorb pressure like other teams do. So, you know, would you expect any major changes from what we saw at the weekend in terms of personnel? I'm not talking about the formation yet. We'll come to that later on. But in terms of actual personnel from what we saw last night, I'll refer to it as last night, but, you know, Wednesday night. Are we expecting anything different? You know, there was a few players who were maybe looking a bit out of sorts on that field. You know, there was a couple of, I'm not going to name any names, but there were a couple of players who looked maybe a bit scared on that field or a bit maybe shell-shocked, shall we say.
I think the only one which stands out for me, because I think, like Daryl mentioned, I think a lot of these positions right now pick themselves because of the lack of options. I think the only one which takes you back to the formation subject is possibly right back. Kraft looked lost. He looked absolutely lost. And do you know what is I like Kraft? I think he's a very good backup. Obviously, we know he has his limitations, but he looked completely lost against Palace. And that takes you back down to the root. If Trippier's fit, he's not going to start. We know for fine while he's not going to start if he hasn't even been included in the squad against Palace. But Tino had a push. I think that's probably the one which you're looking at coming back into that setup. I think with Tino playing as it's going to be possibly the right side. Say he goes back, I think you're going to have to go four at the back, because I don't think he plays as that right centre back in the back three. He needs to go back as a right back, and we need to drop the wing backs, which means you're shuffling things up further up the field. Possibly if that is to happen, then you'll probably see Gordon go over the right hand side, then obviously we'll see Barnes back on the left hand side. It's the only one off the top of my head which is possible at the minute. We're back down to what we were just after Christmas, where we're limited on bodies, and it's so frustrating. Once again, Anderson's came back into it. Anderson looked half decent. Once again, looked a bit off the pace against Palace, but I know I'm singling players out, but every single one of them, even Bruno, looked absolutely gone, trying everything he was, trying these fancy flicks and passes and trying to roll the ball, and just wasn't working. And nothing was working against Crystal Palace. So I don't know, Scott, just go back to the question. Right back, that's the only really standout position where I think he's got any options. Yes, Wilson's back, but you're not going to drop Isak for Wilson. Yeah. It's not happening. So it's the only one, but I wouldn't be shocked to see exact same starting 11.
So if it's the same starting 11, Daryl, I know you've already mentioned you want to see a change, but do you think Eddie Howe will stick to his guns with the formation and try it one more time and roll the dice? Or do you think that ship sailed and he kind of has to go back to his tried and trusted 4-3-3?
I think the majority would probably want to see a return to the 4-3-3, but this is also going to come down to whatever analysis the scouts and that have done on Sheffield United, and whether or not that this system is going to be the best place to use again on Saturday. I can sit here right now and say I'd prefer it to be back to 4-3-3. And I think if he tries to use the same 11 as well, it'll just be more conventional. And trying to work out who will start in at left back will be the problem, rather than, you know, it could even be a case of putting Murphy at right back, although that's not really what I'd like to see. But Murphy at right back, and then Kraft and Sher as your centre backs, and then Dan Burn at left back. But again, it's one of them things. I would probably make that one change and have probably Tino for Murphy would be the swap I would make, and then keep the rest of them the same.
Yeah. I think the only other player that I think that people have seemed to not forgotten about, because obviously you kind of forget about him, but he was due back around now, I think, is Nick Pope. They said mid to late April, and it's the 25th of April, the time of recording. He's not, I don't know, was there any news of another setback? Does anyone read anything or say anything about that? Because I don't know. Or have they just done what they're doing with Willock and Miley and just thinking, look, just let's leave until the end of the season, and we're going to stick with Dubravka and see how it goes.
I think it might just be a case of just trying to, they probably will try and play him again this season, but it'll just come down to how his recovery and his training recovery comes into it. Because I think the last update we had from Eddie Howe was that he was back on the grass and he was just about starting to make saves and to really start to test his shoulder. But again, that's the sort of thing where you can't replicate the match scenario on the training pitch properly, and he's going to have to go into a position where he starts taking bumps and hits from defenders and really having to stretch that shoulder and getting down and making saves and really putting the pressure on it. So it is going to be a tough call, but they can only do so much on the training pitch before he's ready to come in the first team.
It's quite daunting, isn't it, though, for a keeper, especially when obviously they've popped the shoulder for getting back to making saves and being in a competitive game, because it's still going to be there in the back of your mind that it could go at any point. Obviously, hence why he's had surgery to hopefully stop that from happening. We saw it with Murphy just this season.
Exactly,
what can happen? So it has. Do you know what they should do? Just stick him and Joe Linton in a room and just Joe Linton's going to just bray into him like for a full on hour. Just bray into him. See what happens. Just see what happens.
Put him in one of them American football padding suits and just see what happens.
It's like what Happy Gilmore does when he just goes into the baseball court and he just puts a helmet on. Just do that with Nick Pope. Speaking about the goalkeeper, I've always defended Dubravka, but that second goal straight through his legs last night. I know he just doesn't know which foot to go with, but we need Pope back.
And I think Pope wants to be back because obviously the Euros are coming up, and I think none of the England goalkeepers at the moment are doing themselves any favours. He could stake a good claim of being a good choice.
It's random, isn't it? It's mad when you think about it. Obviously, the three goalkeepers, Nick Pope, Pickford and Ramsdale, really, those are your three, aren't they? Ramsdale's not even getting his game. Pickford is just Pickford, and I saw a tweet last week and it said, in some weird universe, in some alternate universe, Jordan Pickford is hanging outside of the Bridges on his BMX offering to buy young kids alcohol. But it's right, isn't it?
It is.
It's correct. If he didn't go down that football path, he just stuck with being a massive chaver. And obviously Nick Pope injured. It's a strange one. It is. And Southgate's, do you know what it is? It probably picks himself with Pickford in goal because he's the only one getting game time.
The other options are all shot to hell. I mean, you've got Trafford at Burnley and he's just conceding left, right and centre. Johnston from Palace, he's injured. He's not going to be back in time. And the only other conceivable options, but because Ramsdale's not even getting game time at Arsenal either. And
we'll have Bestie in there soon, man.
Wait, I glove him up. It'll be like Neville Southall coming back from the dead.
Gillespie might get a run out.
Gillespie, get Richie to drive him down his HGV. We'll come to our favourite segment of the match previews, Daryl, and that is Ref Watch.
I don't want to talk about referees anymore. I'm sick of referees. I love Ref Watch, but I'm sick of referees. I'm sick of VAR. I haven't even touched from VAR. I'm sick of it. It's Jared Gillett starting there.
who is the person in charge, Daryl? Go run with through
It's actually a guy that we had fairly recently. If you only have to go back as far as the Everton draw at St James's, and it's Tony Harrington from Hartlepool. At the time we did the preview for Everton, he'd only done six games in the season, and since that game at Everton, he's only done one more since then. So this is going to be game number 9 for him this season. So he's done 8 games so far now this season. He's got 1 red card and 33 yellows. So he's pretty much on about the averages as well. So again, it's, you know, if the Everton game's anything to go by, just don't let Paul Dummett anywhere near the box trying to foul it in attack, and so we don't give away stupid penalties.
Don't let him anywhere near the field, never mind the box.
Well, there is that. And VAR is Andy Madley, not the dog bother, the other one.
Is he a Luton fan by any chance?
I don't think
so. You've got to ask these days.
No, I don't think he's like a Sheffield Wednesday fan either, for the Sheffield United fans watching either. So I think you're all right.
Okay, nice one. And does he have hair or not? That's the other important question.
Tony Harrington has hair, yes.
He has hair. Okay, there we go. So there you go. That's Ref Watch for this week. We'll move straight over to the predictions. Chris, I'll come to you first. I don't know if you can, but what's your predictions for this one? Pick a number, any number. No.
It can't be anything like the reverse fixture. I just can't see it. No. I can't see it happening because that high intensity, it's just not there. It was what to say it again. We saw it against Spurs. Even though Spurs had like 70-odd% possession or whatever it was. I still think we'll win it. Like, don't get us wrong. I'm still confident that we'll win the game. But just like, I think the performance is crucial as well. Like, a scrappy win, yes, at the end of the day, it's 3 points. But you need something on the back of that Palace game. You really do. And you know for fine well, Eddie Howe will be demanding that. So I'm going to go with a 2-0 Newcastle United win. But I don't think it'll be comfortable. I don't think we'll control it from start to finish. I think there'll be moments in the game where we might struggle.
Nice. Daryl?
Well, Chris has stolen me thunder because I was going to go 2-0 as well.
Just go 2-0, man. Stick with it.
We'll stick with it. Yeah, 2-0. I think, like Chris has just mentioned as well, the performance is very important. I think it'll be important for the defence to get another clean sheet. You know, we had done quite well in the games up to that Palace game to get a couple of clean sheets under our belt. So, yeah, another one would go down very well. And again, I think the problem we'll probably have is going to be in the middle, because as we all now know that, you know, that midfield is picking itself, and it's, you know, you only have to go as far back as November to remember what happened the last time. You know, November, December time, when that midfield had to play every single minute of every single game going in the busiest portion of the season. You know, what was it, 10 games in 28 days or whatever it was we were playing, 31 days. And, you know, I know the schedule's not as heavy now as it was back then, but, you know, because we're later in the season, it still has the same sort of effect. So, again, that game will be controlled by what happens in midfield. So it's up to the boys to be on top.
Well, I kind of not look at Sheffield United's goal scored against and not be a little bit confident that there's going to be a few goals in this one. Again, I don't think it's going to be anything like the away fixture. But I think we're going to have a lot of possession. I think we'll probably will control the game a little bit, but I don't think, I don't think it'll be anything like the away fixture. So that's why I think it's going to be 10-0. No, it's not going to be 10-0. I think it'll probably be about 4-0. I think we will have a good slot of the possession, and I think we'll get two in the first half, two in the second half. I think it's just going to be one of those games where, you know, it's going to be, it's weird. I think it'll be 4-0, but it won't feel like a 4-0, if you know what I mean. Like, it's just going to be like, oh, did we actually score four goals in that game?
Like just the Wolves game.
Yeah, just like one of them where you just feel, it's like, it's just a dirty 4-0. You're just like, I kind of believe we've come out with that with four goals. But it'll be one of those, just one of those awful goals. And I think, yeah, I mean, if he's on the field, I think Isak's going to get a couple. It depends who starts, Isak or Wilson. It'll be one, but you've got to play Isak, right? And he will take that crown from Ibrahimovic for most goals scored in a Premier League season from a Swede. And we'll get Gordon on the score sheet as well. You can have a couple. So Isak and Gordon. So if you've got FPL, get both of them in your team. No, I'm joking. But there you go.
You could say, like, do you know what it is? It was a shame that Anthony Gordon interview got released with on the overlap with Neville. Then obviously that Palace game comes up because he's got to have a bit of criticism from other fans on the back of that. You could see his frustrations on Wednesday night. You could see it. He wasn't happy with his performance at all, making wrong decisions left, right, and centre. Mm-hmm. He was trying new things every single time, just they weren't working. They just had his number, unfortunately. Yeah. But I think going back to this upcoming fixture, I think it's probably one of those games, Scott. If we get the goal, I wouldn't be surprised if we get another one straight after.
Yeah,
we'll get like similar to what we did against Spurs. We've seen a few times this season where we'll get one, we'll just go straight, just honestly go for the throat. And I think that's what Eddie will demand, like that really will, because that just wasn't acceptable anywhere on the field on Wednesday night. So God forbid it's a poor result and it comes Saturday, because honestly. There'll be people getting a good old smacking, like, do you know what it is? The more I'm speaking, the more confident I'm getting.
I mean, 3 points is all we really need, no matter what the result.
Do you know what it is? I think
the business end of the season, shall we say.
People have been listening and watching this, and probably thought, they've been a bit downbeat. But it's because we're recording it not 24 hours after the result against Palace. And I think what's really frustrating is that Sheffield United were winning against Man U, 2-0 up, weren't they, at one point?
As 2-1, I think.
Was it 2-1? So they were winning the game, and you're thinking, oh, it's going our way. Like, it really is. We can grab this European spot. Then Man U being, I don't know how they do this, but they literally, they could easily be the shittest team in this league, like, hands down, and they're still getting results. Like, I just don't understand it. And I think that's what's frustrating as well. We're getting chances to capitalize, and we're getting keeping the race for European football, and we know for fine well it's going to go right to the wire now. It really is. So we need these 3 points. We really do.
Yeah. It's going to go down to that fixture against Man United.
It really is, yeah.
I know.
And hopefully we're going to get payback for that Carabao Cup final.
So again.
We'll see.
Again. Again. We get payback every season now, don't we?
Yeah. We do. Every game
we'll see. But we'll put a fork in it for that one. Thanks, Daryl, and thanks, Chris, for joining us. Let us know in the comments below what you think the score is going to be. Do you think it's going to be a big of a whitewash as it was in the away fixture back in September, or do you think it's going to be a little bit less? Like I said, let us know in the comments. If you've been watching this and you've enjoyed it, give us a thumbs up. That's all we ask for. And while you're down there, if you want to hit the notification bell, that'll get you notified when new videos on the channel go live. And if you also hit the subscribe button, you will see more videos of ours in your YouTube video feed. If you want to go one step further, you can become a member. It's $2.99 a month. That gets you early access to videos like this one, as well as access to the Telegram group. Boys, I hope we get 3 points.
Right.
I hope we do.
Right.
All I'm asking for. But if we can get four goals as well, it'll just be a nice little icing on the cherry on the top, on the cake. But we'll see what happens. And no doubt we'll be back with more content, as always, on this channel. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you in the next one. Ta-da.
Bye.
Podcast Network.